Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 67, The Way Involves Suffering. Today is Friday, October 3rd, 2008. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Pastor Paul's mission, located in the historic Mikrokotis Synagogue, which is located in North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Today's message was originally recorded on a Sunday, February 24th, 1985. The message is spirit-filled and timeless, but the date is a little piece of history. Now, you can subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast at his blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and you can also make a comment at the bottom of the show notes. I'm going to be leaving some links to Hobo Bus, which is talked about within the message, really a lot. It's so good. There are a couple of guys there, hobos, Fred and Lee, who helped us rebuild the downstairs at the mission and the grocery shelf, the walls. I can still remember them. And I can also remember when we were making cheese soup by the just bucket loads of it. It was unbelievable. And there's a little story about Lee's stomach sensitivity, if you know what I mean, after eating a lot of cheese soup. You see, Lee was not used to eating that much. Let's say Lee was on a liquid diet. So the cheese soup was a little bit rich, and he had to excuse himself. But they are in the message, and Pastor Paul talks to both Fred and Lee. It's a really good message. I'm going to leave a link to the Hobo Bus. You can also call the comment line. And what we're going to do with comments on the comment line, because the messages are lengthy, we're going to post those as a blog post with a little bit of an explanation. So it'll be an audio post on Pastor Paul's blog instead of within the message. So if you have an audio message you want to leave that is a testimony or something you'd like to share with the community, call 715-808-0318. I will put it in Pastor Paul's blog with some notes regarding your testimony. You can also visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the homepage, you're going to see links to the blog, Flickr, podcast, our store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go there. And you can also make a tax-deductible donation. Just go through the links. We need your support. All money goes to help support Pastor Paul's Missions Grocery Shelf, which is our food ministry to the needy in Minnesota. Now, about today's message, The Way Involves Suffering. It is so good. You're going to listen to the whole message all the way through just because it's just so good and it just is very free-flowing. Here are some of the points that I wrote down to listen to. Sin is boring, okay? Boring. Christian life is exciting. The key is that you must be involved all the way. All the way. Heart, mind, and soul. Don't go halfway. Number two, angels are sent to us to strengthen us. And Pastor Paul talks about angels in the message and says they are big. Okay. They are big and tall. Number three, time for redeeming. Today we'd say recycling. So Pastor Paul talks about suffering is redemptive. He uses the example of the hobo bus and different things. Number four, Death Valley. This is a really good story. He talks about the visual is going through Death Valley, needing a ladder to climb out. You want to listen to that. That is really, really, really good. And then number five, pain in your mind is a prelude to discovery. A pain in your mind is a prelude to discovery. I can really relate to with regard to our store. really just trying to figure out what to do with this store. And you know what? It's coming together, believe it or not. It's coming together. But it's been a pain in my mind. Number six, when you get gray hair, don't wear a hat, wear it like a crown. I just threw the don't wear a hat in there, but he actually says this. When you get gray hair, now ladies, listen up, wear it like a crown, okay? Now it takes one to know one. Do not hide your light under a bushel basket. I thought I would just throw that in as a bonus. Number seven, do not hide your hair under a hat. Let it shine. A lot of singing in the message, and he talks about suffering. Turn it into a song. So this week, when we suffer, which chances are we will, let's try to make some music. I'm going to leave you with this song. He talks about this song in the message. It's turning out to be a very favorite song of mine. So high, so wide, so low, you have to come in at the door. I want to dedicate this song to my Twitter followers. Twiddle. That'd be a new name for a new application. Twiddle. I want to dedicate this song to my Twitter followers who I am following on Twitter. And you're going to have to go to Twitter to find out who these guys are. But they are the infamous Elvis Lives and Santa Presley. This song is just for you guys. Have a great week. I will see you back here next Friday for another one of Pastor Paul's messages. The name of the message coming up is The Way of Obedience is Suffering. We are going to be suffering, gang. Let's go for it.
Pretty so high,
so high, you can't get on.
So wide,
so wide, you can't get around.
So low,
so low, you can't get
got a mighty
in. You must come in at the door.
It is high,
so high, you can't get on.
It is wide,
so wide, you can't get around.
So low, streets of pearl. You know the mighty, mighty, mighty gates are going in this
high. So high, you can't get on.
So wide,
so wide, you can't get around.
So low,
so low, you can't get on.
You might as well
come in at the door.
It's high,
so high, you can't get on.
It is wide,
so high, you can't get around.
I know it's so low.
Involves suffering. This message today will be into the tune of suffering. Some years ago, I ministered about sin being boring and dull and uninteresting, and went out on the bus run out there, and I just reminded me of that message. How boring and uninteresting and how dull sin is. But there's a new spirit on the bus. And the people are joyful and they're open and they're receiving. It's so beautiful. What a ministry. And I thought to myself, you know, the Christian life is not dull. And then it's not boring. And it's not uninteresting. But I thought to myself, for the very full joy, you must fully live it. I mean, you really got to get into it if you're going to get anything out of it. I mean, totally. Not halfway. Not three quarters of the way. Not maybe tomorrow I'll get into it, or I got to finish this or that, or I got to go bury someone like it says in the Bible. Because you can't follow Jesus halfway. You remember in the Bible when they were following Jesus and they followed him from afar, it says? And, you know, that's hard to follow Jesus from afar because you don't want anybody to see you, so you got to get down in the ditch. You got to run where all the brambles are and all the cockleburrs and all the broken bottles and hubcaps, slush and mud, mosquitoes. But the Christian life will lead you into joy. You got to live it. You got to live it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You got to put your all into it, and then God will give you his all. That's why there's so much deadness in the house of God. People are only putting a little piece in, trying to get away from God's will. God's will. My will. Yeah, our will. We want to always have our way, and it doesn't work, and we end up miserable, and everyone all around us is miserable. And a person asked me the other day, aren't we exempt from suffering? You just got done saying that we have joy. No, you'll suffer every time before the joy. Well, what's the answer? I believe it's found in the very cross where Jesus took the very worst thing and turned it into the very best. He turned death into life. He gave us redemption. And when we can turn the very worst into the very best, then we are saved. When you see transformed lives, oh, that tickles me. Fred and Lee sitting over there. Whew. Not that we aren't all being transformed, but I'm just going to use them for examples. And I come down and Fred is doing all these different jobs on Saturday. He's putting up this and putting, how long can I stay? How long can I stay here today? Rubbing his hands. Wow. Hey, you can stay all day long. So he got four or five things done. There's a nursery. There's a nursery if you want to take him down. So he got four or five things done and he was just radiant with what he had done. And I thought, now he's got the full joy of the Lord here. And I thought, isn't this beautiful that he has found the secret? And when he first came in, I laid some guidelines down on what we could do and what couldn't do. And he followed those guidelines and it led him right to the joy of Jesus. Isn't that right, Fred and Lee? And they're starting to move in the things of the Lord. And I am so proud of you guys. It just tickles me every time I think about them. Tickles me every time I see them. They just put their all into the whole thing of it. And I think, isn't that beautiful? You know, you can stand anything because you can use everything. Use it all. You get mad at somebody. Don't burn that bridge. Don't stop talking to one another. Don't say, all right, I'll do it by myself. You know why? Because there'll come a time when you need that person. There'll come a time when you can say, hey, can you come over here and can you do this thing? Are you hearing this, boys, over there? Look up here, guys. Don't get wrapped up in anything. Now, come on, we want you to hear this today. But you can stand anything because you can use everything. And what's upsetting you today, now, could set you up later. Bear the pain to bear the fruit. Bear with the saints of God to share with the saints of God. You must bear the cross, it says, to wear the crown. There is a suffering involved. But it has to be there. And don't look all melancholy. No, God. Huh? Hurry to God. It's got to be there. Hey, if you weren't suffering some way, people couldn't help you out. God couldn't bring the answer. You wouldn't do anything. You'd just sit there like a smiling chessy cat. But I think the key is found here. He withdrew about a stone's throw and knelt in prayer, saying, Father, if it pleases thee, take this cup away from me. But thy will, not mine, be done. And listen. And an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. When you pray for the will of the Lord in your life, God will send you an angel because you're going to need one. He is going to put you into the battle. But now you got an angel. In Luke 22 and 42 through 43, help came before the trial. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that make you want to call out for the will of the Lord? Not mine, but thine be done, O Lord. Ooh. God's answer was strength to you. It's not an exemption from it. The cross. We all come to the crossroads in our spiritual lives, in our walk. There, up ahead, stands the cross. You can go to the right, or you can go to the left. Or you can turn back. Or you can say yes to the Lord, like the song says. I say yes, yes, yes to the Lord. But it's so high you can't get over it. And it's so low you can't get under it. And so wide you can't get around it. You got to come in at the door. Whew. Know who that door is? The door is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must fellowship with him in his suffering. Now you'll hear a lot of messages on speaking the word and doing the word. But the very little times you'll hear doing the word. And doing the word is doing the will of the Father. That means you actually pick yourself up and you do the will of God. What is the will of God? It's all the way through the Bible. Feed the poor. Minister to the sick. Minister to the lowly. Minister to the widows. Love your neighbor. I mean, those things will keep you plenty busy right there, not to mention all the other things that are mentioned. But once you enter into this divine calling and the door closes, that's it. I myself, I know, I have entered into a divine calling and that's it. There's no key, there's no way out. All the way in, I've passed over the point of no return. It's do or die. But now there's no worry about it, because now I know I can't get out. I only can go in further. And the further that we start to go in at the end times, the more you're going to see folks dropping off like flies. You ever seen flies drop? Man, they just drop in piles. Whew. But that's it. There's no immediate answer. So many times people come up with little flippant answers. Well, do this and do that and so on and so on and claim it and so on and so on. But they don't know what they're saying. They don't know that when they speak the word, they must follow through. You know? Maybe they're trying to get rid of it. Better do it. There's no immediate direction. Mike, well, do you know exactly how that's going to turn out? No. If you knew exactly what was going to happen to you 10 years ago, you wouldn't even have wanted to live. See, that's too much. I can't bear all them burdens. And don't get melancholy over that either, because you're supposed to forget all those things that are in the past. I mean totally forget them and stop using them all the time. Now, here's something. I was talking to some Indian fellows down there, and they started talking about South Dakota. Well, I had something in common with them. I had served some time there at Plankinton Boys School when I was about 13 years old. Yay! That's Plankinton. We come from right around that area. Oh, my goodness. Say amen, somebody. But there's no quick prophecies. So many times you want to have someone sit us down. Give me a word. Okay, I'm in this great big mess now. That's because you claimed yourself into it. Now you don't know what to do with it. Now you don't want to look like some kind of a dummy and not follow through, so you want somebody to prophesy off over you to go someplace else. Aren't we tricky? And we blame it on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and they're just trying to please you. Most times they know what you want, out. Woo! But you see, God wants us to be real in this thing. Not around Death Valley. Not over Death Valley, but through Death Valley. You know what happens to you when you cross over? You die. You end up on a spirit on the other side. You go through the valley. You come through that valley and you're going to come up in the spirit. Or you can just lay there in that valley. Down in the valley. Valley so low. Hear the wind blow, boys. Hear the wind blow. You can get all melancholy and just lay in the valley down there at all them old steer bones, or you can cross over, die out there a little bit at a time as you cross over and end up in the spirit on the other side. Oh, God. Woo. The Bible says we can do all things well through Christ who strengthens us. Now, in the world, they suffer, but they suffer with no hope. Did you see that out there on that bus? People suffering and had no hope. The woman got on the bus, and she started walking my way, and I said, I know you. She says, no, I've never met you. I said, yes, I know you. It's some time back. I know you. She came on with another man out there, and I said, well... She says, I'm from Wisconsin. I said, well, I ministered there some years back. And come to find out, I had ministered to her some 7 years ago at one meeting. The boyfriend was a runaway from a prison and they were going back. But we were able to pray with them, believe with them. And the little guy in the back booth there, he was touched, so we led him to the Lord. Opportunities all over the place to do the will of God. If we want to do the will of God, if we want to have the full joy, we put our full self into it. Otherwise, we're just walking around complaining all the time and scoffing. But you see, when we get into it, like the Lord Jesus, we have an angel to strengthen us. All we have to do is withdraw, stone throw away. Kneel down in prayer saying, Father, if it please thee, take this cup away from me, but thy will not mine be done. You know what happens then, don't you? An angel from heaven is sent. Because now you're going to need that angel. The will of the Father is to go out and conquer, and it's going to take spiritual forces for us to do that. But see, this isn't going to mean a thing to you today if you're not in the spirit of what I'm saying. Not a thing. Why not give up our lives today? I mean, give them up for the work of the Lord. And then you have the full joy of the Lord. Full joy. Not part way. All the way. Wow. Woo. But we have an angel to strengthen us to drink from the cup, to bear the cross, and make it redemptive. We take all these things that go wrong and we make them redemptive. Well, we redeemed an old bus out there. Isn't that right? We redeemed old stools that were laying up in an old place. An old Jewish man up there had these old stools. Now, when he says, oh, there's no God. Oh, yes, there's a God. We're all going to meet him. Redemptive. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do with me. He gave me those stools for $5 a piece just to get me out of there. But he saw one thing. He says, what you have is real to you. I says, it most certainly is. And everybody has a God, and you have a God. And thank you for the stools. Good day, sir. Whoa. Brother Bergen came down and I says, I know why God sent you down here. You're an upholsterer. You're going to go buy the material for these stools and come back and we're going to redeem these old, rotten old stools and you're going to make them like brand new. I'll do it tomorrow. I says, no, you're going to do it today. At about 12 o'clock at night, they came back in with the stools. Now is the day for salvation. Now is the day for redeeming the stools, the people, the building, the bus. Not tomorrow. Don't put it off. And there is a nursery. Take the little ones downstairs. How many are hearing this? To the tune of suffering. There was some suffering involved in getting it ready. For the joy that was ahead. Praise the Lord, it works. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Did you see that bus the way it was before? It was laying out in some old field, wasn't it? Wasn't it laying out someplace? Now it's been redeemed. I can almost hear it singing in those old tires, glory, glory to God, huh? Out of the pumpkin patch and into the work of the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. If necessary. Oh, so many people just squirm when they... Well, you know what? You're going to get more trials. God's going to dump them on you till you just say, okay, have your way. Oh, yep. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ will only reveal himself to those that will go through the fire and stop complaining. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Are you hearing it? And in Psalm 25, verses 16 through 18, turn to me, gracious, be gracious to me, for, now listen to all these things that are wrong with David. For I am lonely and afflicted, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble. Now there's, look at all those things. Lonely, afflicted, troubles of my heart enlarged, distresses. But you know what's so beautiful here? He has no questions. He says, Lord, look upon my afflictions. He didn't complain about them. Look upon them and my trouble. And then he says something that really got to me. And he sees the bottom of his whole problem. And forgive all my sins. I know you're dealing with me. So whatever all them sins are, forgive me. But now here I've got all these, I'm lonesome and afflicted and I have troubles of my heart. It's enlarged and distresses. But would you just look upon my afflictions and my trouble? Thank you. Your will be done. Ooh. And when we enter this ministry of following Jesus, we learn that suffering is the tomb. Don't we? Be not deceived today. Committed people are used of God in heavy places. But I know one thing. The answer is to use everything, good, bad, or indifferent. There's a whole lot of people you cannot share your Death Valley experiences with because they just naturally give up, not even enter into the Death Valley at all. Just so hard for some folks to die. My God, they love to live. They love to live with all their melancholy past thoughts and just live in it. Mush away the whole life and just give it over to the devil. That'd be like you falling in a hole, see, because the ladder broke. No, the ladder broke all down. Let's look at this ladder is laying right here. Use that as an example. Here's this ladder down here in this hole. Notice all these pieces down here on the floor. Have a little imagination, please. All these pieces are laying here and all these rungs are laying here, and I'm just so mad at that ladder, I'm not going to use it to get out of that hole. No, sir, you did me wrong, and so, hey, this ladder, I'm not going to use you. Who's the loser? You better pick up the pieces of that ladder and start slapping it together so you get up out of that hole before it rains and you get drowned down in there. Say amen, somebody. Oh, no, no. Use everything, good, bad, or indifferent. And I'm talking about sometimes people. Use them whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Sometimes I have people following me to do jobs and they're grumbling all the way. Sometimes they don't say it with their mouth, but you can feel that spirit of grumbling. It's like when you're a kid and your mom or dad says, okay, now follow me, I'm going to show you how to do the job right, and you go. Huh? A lot of people got that spirit, don't they? Remember Debbie, when she had to do the dishes, she would bang that dishwasher so hard. Bam! Okay, do the dishes. Ah, cling, cling. But I still used her till all the cups were gone. Bang all you want to. Still gonna wash them plates and dishes. Even though you are indifferent. Cheryl laying in there with them dust balls so high under her bed. Had to have a stepladder get up inside of her bed. But I still used them. Even if they were, when I walk out of the room, I could just see them. Sticking them little tongues out. But will you put that ladder, will you use those enemies to get out of the hole? That means put them together so they can be used. But I can't do it. I don't want nothing to do with my enemies. They make me sick. Well, who's the winner then? Doesn't suffering cause us to seek a solution? Husbands and wives do that to one another. They make one another suffer, and then one or the other is going to have to seek a solution. Say amen. How are we going to get out of this thing? Can't live with him. I can't live without him. Guy's a broken ladder. Or she's a broken ladder or whatever. And you fume a little bit down this hole of disgust and despair. Both of you bumping into each other. Get out of the way. Who asked you anyway? It's funny, when you minister like this, everybody thinks you're talking right to them. Well, that's true, I am. Spirit of the Lord's moving. Forgot about the radio and tape ministry again. You folks, I'm sorry, you're going to get it too. But suffering will cause us to seek a solution, don't you see? Because necessity, it says, is the mother of invention. Now you're going to invent how to put that ladder together, or you're going to tear off your clothes and tie them together. Some way or another, you're going to get up out of that hole. Couples who separate and are miserable need to seek a solution. I have the solution. I have the ladder, the way, the door, the truth, and life, and it's Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other solution. Either you let the Lord use you to get to this other person and to help this other person, or you're going to stay right down in your hole. Don't we dig our own holes? God, I used to dig some. Ooh, you may even have to make up with your enemies. We have to learn to use everything and put it to work for God. You may have to make up with your in-laws. Some years back, they had this commercial about in-laws that would come, and they'd use sort of a weird camera angle, sort of like when you look into one of these old headlights where the chrome piece is rounded off and your face looks real ugly when you look into it. Your ears are way back here and your head's all... Maybe you'll have to make up with them. Maybe that's the way you see your in-laws. Hi. Huh? Maybe you'll have to bury the hatchet, and I don't mean in the back of their head either. Maybe you'll have to make that first step, but that's the only way you're going to get up out of the hole. God isn't dealing with them through you. He's dealing with you through you. You mean I got myself into this trouble? That's exactly what I said. You may have to say, you know what, I've been wrong. In order to get the wheels of progress turning again. But you see, it's this suffering that brought you to the truth. Truth is, you need to change. Truth is, it humbled you, and now God can talk to us because we're humble. We're down in a hole down here. Looking at that ladder, and God's saying, put the ladder together. Tear your shirt off. Put some knots in it. Throw it over the top. You got all these creative ideas for me. And you just sit down in that hole, fuming. A lot he cares. A lot she cares. A lot my boss cares. A lot the preacher cares. I ain't going to do it. That's all there is to it. I'm not using that. Not going to use that. I want you to stay down in that hole then a little longer. Hear them clouds rumbling up there? It's getting ready to rain. Better put the... God's going to send another trial on top of a trial. All that mud is starting to ooze down. Your hair is hanging over your face. You look so miserable down in there. Well, look at yourself. You're all muddy and you're all miserable. Now look at this ladder. It's right here. Shall we start to put it together? Should we stay down in the hole? Should we pray for our enemies, these rungs of the ladder? Should we put our house in order? Should we, you know, say we're sorry or whatever it will to build this ladder to get up out of this thing? Or should we stay down there and just get all wet and muddy? You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to yell for help. Help! 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 And all your friends are going to come and say, what happened to you? Why didn't you use the ladder? Why didn't you put it together? And then you make a fool out of yourself. Well, you say, is this a brand new philosophy or something? No, it's a practical way of living. Jesus used this method. In Luke 6, 11 through 13, Moffat translation, it says, this filled them with fury, and they discussed what they could do to Jesus. It was in these ways that he went to the hillside to pray. He summoned his disciples, choosing 12. Their fury furthered him. It made him to make a decision to choose 12. Agree with your adversary quickly whilst he is in the way. So he removes himself out of the way. You can go on. Suffering right here determined Jesus. Pressure made him make a move. And without pressure, we'd let a whole lot of things slide, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? The pressure of the clock. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Better have that dough in the proofing oven. Tick-tock, tick-tock. That pressure makes you get them donuts out. The pressure of the clock makes you to get to work on time. Without that pressure, and without you being called in the up, where were you? You've been late 4 times this week. Without that pressure, you let things slide. See, you need those pressures, and we need that discipline. Just like down on the bus, I says, no, you treat people with discipline the same as you treat anybody else. 7 o'clock, the bus closes. It's here 2 hours. You treat somebody different, that means you don't love them as much as you. The Lord disciplines those that he loves, and you do the same thing in a Christ-like way yourself. Hey, this is the time we close. We are not open. Here's a sandwich out the window and a cup of coffee and goodbye. See you on time next time. Right? See, there's a whole lot in disciplining. And if we're not disciplined ourselves, how can we discipline anybody else if we're hit and miss? How can you run a business when you're hit and miss? Can't do it, can you, Jim? Gotta be there every day. How can you run a church or be involved with the Lord if you're hit and miss? Now you see him, now you don't. Here again, there again, gone again, Flanagan's. I thought to myself, without pressure, we leave a lot of things just slide. When others don't show up for jobs, we suffer. But you know what happens? We become creative. Yesterday, we were about ready to go on this run. I thought, well, now it's 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. You're going to have maybe about 100 meals down there. And the boys were busy. And we're learning every day. So I said, okay, now, we got to take this cold soup, and we got to put it in the... No, don't do that. You got to take this cold soup, and you got to put it in the bucket here, and you got to put it in the boiler, okay? And it took 2 hours for that to heat up. So I said, now that's 2 hours that someone's going to have to dedicate to doing this soup or have somebody put it on for them. Then we have to wrap all of these sandwiches up, and that was another 45 minutes. And you have to place them in the oven, and that's another half hour. And now, Paul, you're going to have to do this 7 days a week. Do you want to do it? Do you? Maybe I should have someone prophesy over me to leave. Oh, I think God's calling me off to Africa. Didn't you hear it? I sure did. How many are hearing this today? You're either in all the way or you're not in at all. You can't eat dinner while you got your body in the doorway. So you can escape back and forth. You're either in or you're out. Come on in. My folks used to say that to me. Either come in or go out. Close the door. It's getting cold in here. Make up your mind. It didn't take long. I was hungry. I had to get back inside there. Don't do it, Bill. How many hearing this? Okay, Bill. Don't interrupt now. Let's start to discipline ourselves in the church here in the house of God. Okay, everybody. That's just like getting up right now. Just like, I'm talking about that. Out the door. We got to start to discipline ourselves. How many know you got to start to discipline ourselves? Come on, let's hear it for the Lord. Maybe you don't like the way I preach and I discipline. But I'll tell you one thing, without the disciplining, there's nothing. Nothing's going to happen in God's army. Not one single solitary thing. Because these determined decisions come out of suffering. And you'll say, you know what, I'm not going to do it that way anymore. And you start to become creative. And I started to think of some creative ideas, and all of a sudden I thought, this is easy. Right after the bread run, we take and put all the stuff on, get everything ready, and it'll take about no time at all because the stuff can cook by itself. You don't have to stand and watch it. In fact, it won't cook at all if you're standing there watching it. Just stay right there in the back, sir, would you? How many are hearing this? How many are hearing this message today? You might call me hard line, but listen, folks. Until we become disciplined to what God has called us to do in our marriages, in our ministries, and in the things we do, we'll get nothing done. Nothing. It takes a disciplined person. Maybe I'll have to stop right here and give a lesson in discipline. Do you ever go into a person's house that's not disciplined? Do you ever go into a church that's not disciplined and everything is helter-skelter and all over the place? You're cleaning houses now. I mean, imagine you go into a lot of houses where you can see the person is not disciplined. See, because this suffering gives you a sensitivity towards others. Now you get up here and preach. And then you be sensitive to what I'm saying here. When interruptions come your way. How many are hearing this? You'd be sensitive to that. You'd say, oh God, I don't want that to happen to me. I remember this guy got up and this person got up and another one yelled and shouted and so on like that. And I just wouldn't want that to happen. See? Say amen, somebody. But it makes you sensitive to the needs of others. You know, if there's no discipline, the devil can ruin a ministry. You can have such a beautiful thing going, and somebody can come in and just ruin it. No way in this church is it ever going to happen. Give the devil his notice right now. This is not going to happen in this church. We are going to be disciplined, and God is going to have his hand on each person here, and they're going to suffer a little bit because they're going to be sensitive to the needs of others. Because, you see, going through these things in our lives prepares us to be leaders that are Christ-like. It also gives us a memory to lead you away from sin. You burn your hand once, you're not going to put your hand on the stove again. It's going to lead you away from that. And when we handle a situation down there on the run, and we handle it wrongly, we get convicted in our spirit. We say, I won't handle it that way again, God helping me. But again, the same thing at work in the apostles who had caught his secret. And it says, the unbelieving Jews poisoned their minds against the brethren. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly. When the enemy tries to pervert everything that's going on and poisons people's minds, listen to what I'm going to say. Go speak boldly like they did in Acts 14, 2 and 3. Speak boldly. Because you see, this poison produced persistence and results. We seek antidotes. We seek a way out where there seemeth to be no way. We learn how to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, show me a way where there seemeth to be no way according to your word. And so the apostles turned these sour grapes into the new wine of the Spirit. Everything furthers the kingdom. And I believe this is a very positive way of dealing with suffering. It gives a new dimension of life. How can you have a victory without battles? Whew. How can you be more than an overcomer through Christ if you don't overcome? Oh, glory to God. Acts 18 and 6 it says, and when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I shall go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and went to the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, and a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians were, when they heard, were believing and were baptized. Paul shook out his garment and said, this is the way it is, people. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Stop being afraid. Speak out boldly for the Lord. Tell people there's got to be discipline in their lives. Pull the ranks together. Pull people together. Show them that they've got to be sensitive to the needs of others. And yes, there is suffering in the body of Christ. How many are hearing this message today? Bill, I'm going to ask you one more time. See, because as a Christian, we can transform suffering and opposition. But you see, to change it, we must enter in. You got to leave your prayer closet for the mission field. You must leave the praise and graze for the praise and plow. So many times people want to come in and they want to praise and they want to graze and they want to eat, but they don't want to plow. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to change. And my God, it's time for change. Devil, there's going to be change. There's going to be change on the north side. Alcoholics, be alerted. There's going to be change. Say amen, somebody. Amen. We've got to start the word right now and give out the word of truth. How many are daring to believe with me that we've got to give a bold word? It isn't going to be easy. There's going to be suffering, but there's going to be a whole lot of joy in it, because you're going to see transformed life as you show people how to discipline their mouths. Say amen, somebody. Whew. They stayed a long time in spite of the opposition and preached the gospel, but in the end they fled. Listen to Acts 14, 6 through 7. And when an attempt was made to molest them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Listeria. There's no rule here. It's just they're just led by the Spirit. The object was preaching the gospel, not whether they were staying or fleeing. I believe we have to learn how to accept all the triumphs of our lives without pride. Oh, that was great. Yeah, I know. And the sufferings of life without despair. Oh, you poor guy, how'd you ever go through it? He hasn't gone through it yet. Some people never go through. They say they went through, but they haven't. They haven't gone through. They're still talking about the same thing 10 years later, but they just throw a little, well, this happened, and they, praise the Lord, but they're still saying the same thing. But anyway, praise the Lord, and they never went through yet. They're fooling themselves. Go through that suffering. You know why? There's more suffering on the other side. Don't suffer with the same old thing. Why grin and bear it? Don't you know that despair always has an open door? Don't you know that in every dawn, it's just, you know, just before that dawning, it's the darkest? Hallelujah. Now, I am so excited about the gospel. Maybe you guessed that. In Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, but we do not see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste the death for everyone. Just look what that suffering did. It was redemptive. For it was fitting for him for whom all are all things and through whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to the perfect, the author of their salvation through suffering. You are perfected through suffering. How many are hearing this? You suffered with a bus, you got the joy, and you were perfected in it while you were doing it. You went out on the soup run, you suffered with getting things ready, you suffered with the frustrations, but you went through and you got the joy. That's all you can talk about is the soup run. Okay? Hear what I'm saying now? This is a redemptive suffering. You suffer a little while with us carrying this little one. You suffer with birth pains. And then you hold the joy. You're suffering for the joy that's before you. And then you'll say, never again! And then about a year later, we'll see you with two kids. Now, I didn't prophesy that. I just happened to mention it. Oh, sometimes I have a pain in my mind. You know what I found out it is? It's a prelude to a discovery. Huh? Don't you think our minds ought to be pained a little bit? A lot of people don't want their mind to be pained with any kind of thought, but frivolity, fun and merrymaking. Let your mind be pained a little bit. You know what? If it's being pained, it's the prelude to a discovery. That's just like when you get something's in your mind, and you think, oh. You have to get rid of it, so you draw it. You say, wow. Then you get another pain. You've been getting a lot of pains lately, haven't you? Been drawing a lot lately. But if you don't get rid of it, it's just a pain in your mind.
God gives you a thought and you don't do it and you don't carry through with it, it's just a dull pain in your mind all the time. I know I'm supposed to do it. I know God spoke to me, and I got this pain in my mind. Well, why don't you do it then? Why don't you unload? God's put it upon my heart, which means your mind, to do this, and you haven't done it. Or you've done it halfway, or you started to do it and then you never finished it. That pain will never leave your mind until you go ahead and do it. And if it does leave your mind, it means somebody else got the job. Now you got another pain in your mind. I think we have a lot of pains in our minds of unfinished business. Because I think pain brings forth a birth, and it brings forth a discovery. And this is the key, my friends, to everything can be used. Everything. A woman come running up to me and she says, I said, what's wrong? She says, gray hair. Well, I said, woman is better than none at all. Take it from me. What am I going to do with them? I'm only 22 years old. I said, admire them. Wear them as a crown, not a complaint. Glory in everything, and everything will be glorious. Isn't there a song, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Learn to be happy in spite of. It was a few months ago, I was standing on this back step back here, and I lost my balance, and over I went on the cement, and I twisted my leg and heard this loud crack. I thought, oh, God. I was laying down there, and I knocked all the wind out of myself. And I thought, oh, God, broke my leg. I thought, oh, God, I got to get up because I got to get to the hospital and get a cast put on because I got to go preach tomorrow. And then, you know what? I started to laugh at myself while I was laying on the floor. Another fine mess you've gotten yourself into. You know what I said? I said, thanks, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I started rubbing my leg, and I didn't even think about the snap bone. And thank you, Jesus. And I started walking, and I thought, hey, there's nothing wrong with my leg. I talked to a woman who had lost a little girl. She picked gratitude instead of grouchiness. And she turned that tragedy into a ministry, so-called tragedy. And another woman, having the same thing happen to her, died of grief. Hebrews 12 and 3 says that your souls may not wear out with despondency. Did you ever see a person that's wearing themselves out? Wear themselves out. They're wearing themselves out. Tisk, tisk, what will I ever do? Tisk, tisk, what will I ever do? Tisk, tisk, huh? And they become despondent, and they wear themselves out, and they become sick in their body, and they become sick in their mind, and they become sick in their spirit. Because they won't receive anything as the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning them. Oh, they say they give things up, but they really do not do it. They love to hold on to them and crawl back into the halls with the rest of the melancholy frumps. I said it, radio audience, and I'm glad. There's a whole lot of you folks out there that are just using excuses for not doing anything. And she lived in a sort of a self-pity instead of self-mastery and circumstance mastery. And Another person came to me and they were always talking about they. I said, who are they? Well, I just wonder if they like me, and I wonder what they think of me, and I wonder if they heard. And I wonder if they know. And they're always working about some imaginary and worrying about some imaginary theys. A lot of times they don't even exist.
Oh, don't collect things because they will collect you. Just have the essentials. Laugh at yourself. Go to the mirror and have a good gut buster. Every time you feel a face sag coming on, you can feel them coming on. You're just real pleasant with somebody and, okay, well, see you later. And then you stand there and you can start to feel your face start to... Huh? Every time you feel the face sag come on, go to the mirror. Oh, God. I know this makes people mad because they had saggy jaws when they came in here. Lift up your jaws, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Amen, somebody. Do you ever have that happen to you? I have. You're real happy and everything's going great. And you reach the pinnacle of happiness and it starts to leave. You ought to tell each other, hey, your face is sagging. I told a woman that. She said, okay, now how do I do this? You're saying all this. Now she says, what do I do with this? I lost my car. Now what do I do? I said, you sing about it. Well, how do I sing about it? I said, well, I just felt kind of silly. So I said, you just sing. I lost my car with them old bald tires. And I lost that car with a fuel pump that was going out. And you know, God gave me wisdom. Everything I said was wrong with that car was wrong with it. And she says, yes, I'm so glad I lost the car. Hallelujah. Oh. I was working with a man some years back, and his wife had ran away. She wouldn't be reconciled. Ran out on him all the time. Left the kids, hated her husband, hated the kids, wouldn't counsel, wouldn't clean the house. Couldn't be begged back, bought back. And I said, let's take a piece of paper and pencil here and just write all this down, what you've been telling me all the time. Let's just examine this thing real close. You say that she ran out on you all the time? And you had to take care of them babies and change the diapers and do all them old things like that? And you had to stay up to the wee hours in the morning and she would come in drunk and all that? Yes, and I wrote that all down. You say she left the kids every day? You say she hated your guts and your face always looked like it'd been through a meat grinder. She'd slap you up alongside the head every time she'd seen you. You say that she hated the kids. Yes, 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 yes. And she wouldn't come in for counsel and she'd been gone for 3 or 4 years now and never cleaned the house. Couldn't be begged back. I said, man, let's stop crying and start counting your blessings here. Praise God. And you know what? Now me and this man sang that old song again. We turned that song of sorrow into a song of joy. Oh, she left and she ran away. Oh, everything's okay today. Hooray, hooray, huh? And he started to laugh. God, he says, I didn't realize how well off I was. So many people are waiting for somebody that has no inkling of ever coming back. But sometimes they cannot stand the thought that someone else has them. Good riddance. God, good riddance. Are you talking to me? Whoever it touches, say amen, somebody. Pick yourself up, get yourself up, and start singing the victory. Glory to God, sing it. Stop blowing your horn out there. Somebody's found their car. Woo! Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10. But we do not see him who has made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, through whom all things, and bringing many sons to the glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. I wanted to read that one again. I wanted to stick with you. It's so much fun, man. You're so free when you go through. And, you know, everything that's worthwhile is going to have a little bit of suffering involved in it. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have so great a crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I got all these bags out here laying up and down the things out here. These are the different things we try to carry with us. There's a bag here. I'll pick this bag up, a little tie on this black bag here, and I'll put that over my shoulder. And then I'll go over here, and I'll pick this one up over here, and I'll... Oh, I got that one up there now. And then I'll, oops, there's one over here. Well, I have to kind of bend down and pick this one up. Oh, golly. And I got that one, and I'll whip that around. Ooh, man, wow. Got all burdens on my back. Oh, would you get that one right down there for me and just load it on my back? Just reach down, pick it up, please. Okay, put it on, get over my hand. No, I haven't quite got it. No, over the back, over. Learn to listen. There. All right. All right. You want to carry all this? Want to carry all these burdens? You know, the door is narrow, and you can't get through it. You can't carry all your burdens with you and all those sins that so easily get in on you and carry them with you over and over. Doubt, melancholy, and all this stink you carry with you forever and ever and ever, and make everybody miserable while you can. You know, you keep garbage long enough and it stinks up the whole house. Well, let's just take these burdens. Oops. Oh, God. And take them over here to the cross and dump them off. Oh. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, God. Oh, not only that, now I can praise the Lord. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I was so busy carrying all those burdens, I couldn't lift up my arms unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys, lift up your arms. Whew. Lift them up, guys. Come on. Ooh, lift them up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for disciplining me not to pick up those bags anymore. All those things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Whew. I'm going to say this while I close here. Rescue every time. Rescue good out of evil. It's in there. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Rescue it. It's in there. Rescue a song out of sorrow. If someone is jealous of you, love them, and they will be frustrated. There's somebody envious of you? Love them, and they'll get frustrated. Wake up and say, I hope my criticizers are as happy as me. But I don't think so. They're so overworked. You know, if people are criticizing you, it means you've got a lot of things going on. Doesn't it? And the scorners that are laying back, like it's Friday's message, are laying back. And they're just sort of at their ease, then they can just sort of scorn, and they become scorn faces. Huh. Let me get this right now. Scorning. Because they haven't got nothing better to do. But they are overworked. You got to tell them, you look awful laying there. That's scorning, is it? You know, that's costing you your life. This scornful attitude. And look at your face, it's falling away. And you're going to look old before your time. Can't we have you enter in? Can't we put your broken ladder together? Can't we use you? Can't God use you for His glory? I got one more thing to say here. Hey, give me that piece of flannel down there, will you? It's on the floor there, Rick. Thank you. See this piece of flannel here? It's not really flannel yet. It's a piece of cotton. Give me that pin that you got on the front of your shirt there. Just take it off the front of your shirt there. It takes two hands to take a pin off. Take the pin off. Now give me the pin. Thank you. You didn't hand it to me, right? Just, you have to hit like this. There, okay, now just hand it to me. There, you see this pin? You see this cotton here? You know how this is going to become flannel? You take the needle, and I'll stretch this cloth between you two. You hold it, one end of the cloth over here, and you hold this end. Pull it tight now. There, here. Okay, now you take this needle, and we pick at it, and we pull all the cloth up out of it, and we just take these little... Prick up the cloth there and prick it, 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 prick it. It's suffering a little bit, but notice how soft it's getting. Pliable. There. There. Now, give me the cloth. Let go. Okay, now, let me take this cloth now and put it on your face. What does that feel like now?
Soft.
Real soft. Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful, isn't it? How does that feel to you?
Nice.
Nice. Ooh. Hold it all up. Okay, I'll take that up here. I'll use this for an example later on. There we go. There we go. See, because if you accept and use the needle, it will make you inwardly as snug as flannel. Is somebody needling you? Good. Your sorrow will turn to joy and you'll become soft and pliable in the hands of the Lord. You can be used to cover other people. Now all the sunsets turn into sunrises. Don't you forget it for 1 minute. All the pangs become birth pangs. I was talking to a representative from a plate place. They make these tin plates and he said, we didn't know how to do this. The machine was running through and stamping them out and they were breaking every time. And then we came up with an idea of heating these things up into 2,500 degrees. And at that point, the molecules just sort of just relax. And we ran them through, and they were just stamped just beautifully, each one perfect. And I says, you know what? I get a message out of that. Ooh, I said, that is so beautiful fiery trials brings us into harmony with God, so we'll bend and not break. Ooh, how many heard this message today? Lop, just lose all your fears, all 10,000 of them today or whatever. Oh, God. You legalists that are on the radio, don't you be tormentors of people's souls, telling them that they've lost their salvation for this reason or that reason. For salvation is of the Lord, and it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Don't cause fear in people by telling them they have lost their salvation, for you are the worker alongside of the tormentor, and you're tormenting them. Rather, encourage them. We go out today, and we learn today we'll just drop downstairs and we'll put everything on. And we go out tonight, we'll just pray the blessings of the Lord fall all over that bus. But in the middle of it all, we're going to say, Lord, your will be done. And it might just surprise you what's happening. But remember, when it does happen or something that upsets you happens, there's an angel with you. That'll make you feel better. You know how big angels are? This happened to me 4 times in one night in 4 different places in an audience of about 8 or 1,000 people. There were 2 angels, one on either side. And different people from different states and different seeing these angels. And they were big, 9 foot tall. Something happens that gives you a little fear out there. Just look up at your angel in faith and say, here it comes, the will of God. freight train, roll on by. You know, right after that, I used them 2 angels and I walked into a woods with some 80 drug addicts back in the woods back in there. That's when I first got saved, and I walked back in there and they started to circle me, you know, like wolves. And I had the Bible in the back of my, and, you know, I thought, well, I don't want to threaten them, so. But they sort of circled me because they thought I had a club in my hand. But you know what? The next day, out of those 80 young people, I took 50 of them out of town, and they all got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, you guys be over at the church parking lot. I want you all on the bus, just the way you are. We went out of town and we went up to Spring Valley, Wisconsin. We got them all up in there and they all got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because God sent his angels because it was the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us that we went in there. Say amen, somebody. I'll tell you, it's so much fun when you just dedicate your whole life to the Lord. Don't go halfway, go all the way and say, God, if somebody else doesn't do it, let me pick up the slack. And wherever you see slack someplace, pick it up. Don't say, well, hey, that's their job. Just pick up the slack. And then you know what they'll say? They say, hey, that's my job. Get your hands off it. Who told you to do that? I just didn't get around to it yet, see? You provoke them. Get out of here. Isn't that right, Jim? That'd be like me coming into Jim's bakery in there, and he just felt lazy one day. Oh, man, I'm tired of baking these Jim and Dee's famous chocolate donuts down here on 69th and Humboldt Avenue, Brooklyn Park. Yeah, that was a plug. And so then I come in. Well, okay, let me help you out. And I get in there, and I start mixing this dough up. Ooh, yeah, yuck. Then I take it off of this hand, and it goes on this hand. Ooh, ooh. Jim, how do you get this off your hands? Get out of the way, will ya? Get in your own ministry. Who asked you for any help anyway? Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody? Just put your hand up if you don't know for sure. Anybody? Yeah, I see his hand. Billy's been saved about 1,400 times. Bill, let me get some of these people in here. Anyone? Anyone? Just a minute, Bill. I'm fishing now. Wait a minute. No, just a minute now. Let me finish now. Discipline yourself today. Put your hand down there, Bill. Work with me now. Work with me. I'm fishing. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you born again, honey? Are you born again? Don't know for sure? Okay, I'm going to pray with you. Anyone else that doesn't know for sure? You know for sure, honey? Okay. How about them two little ones there? Oh, we're going to get saved. Do you want Jesus to come in your heart? Yeah, sure you do. Anyone else? Right there. Okay. Praise the Lord. Be back up on this. Are you born again, son?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Will you go down there, the young man down there in the wheelchair, and we'll go down and pray with him. Let's go down there and pray with him. You want to come down? We'll pray with him down there in the corner. Come on. Huh? Come on with me. You come with me, honey. You'll come. Yeah. You come. Look at how brave he is. Come on. Sure. You want to come? Come on down. Come on, sheer. Come on. Come on, little guy. Come on. Come on. Come on. There he goes. Look how big and brave he is. Come on, take my hand. Come on. You're going to come too. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's just all hold hands here. You hold his hand, honey. Okay. And brother back there, I want you to bow your head now. And you say this prayer right along with me, won't you? Okay? You just bow your head now. Okay, let's all pray together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus,
I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart and save me. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me a new language. Peace, joy, and love. Thank you, Jesus. I am saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Precious. Well, praise the Lord, huh? Yep. Got some joy there, didn't you? Ooh, you want to take him back? Ooh. Well, now, you know, a lot of times people that get on my case, there was discipline going on here when I first came, but see, he had to hear this message, isn't that right? Uh-huh. And he had to hear this message, and he wouldn't have got saved. But he heard it, and praise the Lord, he got saved. Ooh. Oh, I want you guys to see this face. This is so beautiful, I'll tell you. This guy's face is so beautiful. Look at this face here.